Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you so much for being here with yours truly, Miss Marie, here on the Stars of Heaven Network 9, here on the Heavenly Host broadcast. And what a blessing it is to be here with you on the Lord our Sabbath. And I hope that you are enjoying your rest in the Lord on this pre-season, spring season. I thank the Lord that you and that you've joined me, and thank you so much. If you are first time listener here on the Stars of Heaven Network, and you are a first time visitor and listener of the Heavenly Host broadcast, a broadcast I birthed to help you stay aligned with the divine plumb line, divine plumb line that gives us access to the throne, which is by the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, I'm really excited to minister this prophetic heralding that is Mark's offering. So I didn't do it in the normal format that I've been doing it on my website. And excuse me, I did that for the sake of time. So there will be an April's offering. I just wanted to make sure that I released this prophetic word the Lord gave me for March. And I tell you, it's one that's really one that's needed in these times, and one that I definitely wanted to share here on the Heavenly Host broadcast. And again, the Heavenly Host broadcast is a broadcast that I birthed to also help you know and understand that we have angelic help. Yes, we do. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. He is our high priest, our mediator, and he has the angels, hallelujah, at his disposal. And we have angels that are assigned to our life that are ready and able to assist us in everything. They will bear us up, at least we guess, that's what it's about. So I'm really excited to be here to share this prophetic heralding entitled The Perfect Law of Liberty. And I'm going to be ministering entry two of this, which precedes entry one, which I'm going to touch on in a few minutes. After I share with you today's declaration scripture for the Heavenly Host broadcast. And I'm really excited to share this, because this being the Sabbath day, where we enjoy the Lord being our Sabbath, it's a blessing that that we can do that in the newness of life. Hallelujah. Not in the oldness of the letter, but in the newness of life. And today I have the scripture, that's coming from Matthew, the 12th chapter, the 9th through the 13th verse. And when he gave me this for today, he was reminding me, the Lord was reminding me of that it is good to do good on the Sabbath. And in the book of Matthew, we see where he is talking to the disciples and responding to the disciples and sharing with them the parable when he went about in the synagogue teaching on the Sabbath. And the parable that he gave in teaching them, that there was a man which had a withered hand. And the question that was asked of him by the disciples is that, is it lawful for anyone to be healed on the Sabbath day? And again, a lot of times when they asked Jesus questions, it was only to accuse him. It wasn't because they really wanted to know. It was just to accuse him to see if he was going to stick to the letter of the law. But Jesus, hallelujah, glory be to God, Jesus answered and responded to them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? Goes on to say, how much then is a man better than a sheep? So he's saying, if a sheep falls into a ditch on the Sabbath day, who will not go and lift that sheep up out of a ditch? And he said, now, if you can do that for an animal, how much more would you do that for a man? And this really shows how people can be so legalistic and so religious in their thinking that they become inhumane, or not have compassion, which is what the law really came to do. Under the Old Testament, in the Old Testament, God was merciless. I mean, if you read a lot of the Old Testament laws, there was literally death if you disobeyed one. So that's why the Lord put emphasis so much on the new love in the New Testament, because it is love that fulfills the law. And this is another example that he was giving in his parable on how man and their finite thinking and their rules and their regulations can bind you and be have no compassion, no mercy, because of holding to something that does not bring life, or at the least help someone who's in need. Now he goes on to say, how much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath day? Then said he to the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Hallelujah. So I wanted to share that, because, again, it is good to do good and heal on the Sabbath. And he gave another parable about a donkey. If you have a donkey that's in a ditch, would you not go and get the donkey out? If you need to make money on the Sabbath, would you not go and get your ass out of the ditch. So it's really important for us not to be so religious or be so stringent in what we believe that we don't handle our business. Now, if God has blessed you and you're able to, it's blessed of God where you can observe the Sabbath without having to work on the Sabbath, or that's something you choose, or it's honored by, you know, your boss or whatever, that's wonderful. But I just really wanted to just read this because in me observing the Sabbath, I do so with an understanding that it's good to do well on the Sabbath, to heal in everything on the Sabbath, because the Lord now is our Sabbath. We've entered into his rest. And this is this man stretched forth his hand, and he received his healing at Jesus' command. Now, had not Jesus came along, he probably would have still been in the state he was, being bound by man and their religious rules and all that stuff. But because Jesus was a liberator, hallelujah, he believed that he was the Son of God, and he believed that he had the power to heal him. He stretched forth his hand as he was instructed, and he was made whole. Hallelujah. So, again, this is March offering, and this is part two, entry two from part one. And what I'm going to do quickly is recap part one with you, which is a post that I posted to my Facebook post on March 3rd. And I have included a link. The link is there in the information box if you want to go to the March 3rd posting and read along with me real quick while I kind of summarize this for you and get into entry two. Also, I am on my Facebook post for today. So I'm doing three different things. I'm going back to the information page in my in studio, then I'm going to my Facebook page, then I'm going to the actual posting of this message. So in its entirety, because I wanted to include Hebrews, the chapter, and I also wanted to include 2 Corinthians. So entry one was really a blessing in him giving me this, because as I was praying in this season and praying about what the Lord was saying and what I need to be, what he was saying to me and what he was doing, he again spoke to me about expansion. And he was speaking to me about looking into the perfect law of liberty, which is where I got this title. And on this particular day, you know, I was really, you know, just really immersed in the Spirit and basking in his glory and what he was saying as I was receiving the spiritual refreshing. But that's what it was. It was like a refreshing. It was a releasing of the floodgates of God that was open in a whole new way. This refreshing was happening in my soul. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. It was happening within the intercentral of my soul. And I just felt God just washing and purging my wound. Hallelujah. And I just felt some things that was breaking from my floor. And I tell you, that's the fulfillment of prophetic scripture, where Jesus said he comes to baptize us in that with fire, and he would thoroughly purge our floor. So there was a purging happening this day when I was receiving this. And also, the scripture came to me as I was, you know, in receiving this glorious washing. He reminded me that that every tree that bear for fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. So I was really encouraged by that as well, because that lets me know that I'm a fruit bearer and that I'm fertile and I'm a good investment. Hallelujah. And that purging was him making room for what he's going to be producing and releasing in this new season, in the spring season. And that's just like the old, removing the old wineskin. As he says in the prayer book, you can't put new wine in old bottles. So he said, burst, and you can't put a new cloth on old garment. At least it's a rent. So it's a blessing when God can purge you, not only from your soul and your spiritual wound, but from your heart. So it was just a lot of things going on. And as a result of him doing that gave me what? Expansion. Expansion, expansion, expansion. And as this was happening in my soul, I felt that expansion opening up more in the spiritual realm. It was spreading up the spiritual realm and new realms of glory in the spirit. Hallelujah. Which only I am able to occupy. Let me say that. And when God said he will make room for us, and when God makes room for us, it's for a place for us to abide according to our anointing, according to our office. Amen. So I just was blessed and present for the apostolic anointing that was first and foremost present that was doing this work. It was prophetic, but it was apostolic because he was, adding another layer to the foundation of this new elevation that I have received coming into the new year. So I wanted to say that. It was an expansion that came by also the renewing of my mind. Amen. The Word of God says that we may know the height, the width, the breadth of the anointing. And we can't know the height, the width, the breadth of the anointing if we don't have the mind of Christ. Amen. We don't know how to discern the Spirit of Christ. Amen. So it's really important to know that we have to have those things that bear witness in heaven and in earth. Excuse me, which is the water, the blood, and the word. Hallelujah. Now, this expansion that was freeing me up, and this experience I was having was also liberating me. There was a liberation. Amen. And so this liberation, that liberation that I was experiencing was coming by what? Truth. By truth. He said you should know the truth and the truth shall make you free. So it was by what he was ministering to me, by the word of truth, what he was ministering to me that was freeing me up, that was expanding me, that was elevating me, that's propelling me to those new realms that he was opening up to me. And also by invitation. Because you remember what he was saying to John? Come up hither. I was only able to receive this elevation by invitation, by meeting what? The requirement. Amen. So in this season of Lent, in these 40 days, or even in the right now, because it was happening right then and right there, that I was able to understand what he was doing. Now, of course, all this came by me confessing some things and my sins and releasing some things. As I allowed him to conclude that session that I was having with him, again, that declaration came for the perfect law of liberty. And so in entry one, I just concluded the definition of liberty to give you an understanding of what liberty means, but also wanted to give you the biblical understanding of what liberty means. Because when he spoke of liberty, he was speaking of it spiritually, our spiritual liberty. Amen. That's given to us by Christ Jesus. Amen. He said, whom the Son free indeed. So I'm free from sin. By the Son of God, by the words he's spoken to me, by the truth of his word, by sanctification, by the blood, by the cross, by his resurrection power. Now, our liberty is a gift and it's a privilege that, again, comes by truth and also comes by true worship. Because the word of God said, those that worship me will worship me what? In spirit and in truth. Amen. And it's because I'm a true believer and a true worshiper of Christ, God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit, that this opening happening. And for that, I gave you 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, the 17 to the 18th verse. And in your own time, you can read it, because Paul is talking about the liberty of God, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. We are to carry the spirit of liberation upon us because he had anointed us, amen, to set the captives free. Because of the anointing, we are set free, amen. Not just by what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, but by the anointing. And he said, now, the Lord is that spirit. He is the spirit of liberation. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Amen. And he said, the Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. Romans 8, Apostle Paul says, for as many are as led of the spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption where we can have a father. So fear was one of the things that, again, he was speaking about that will keep us from walking in liberty. He said fear had torment, but perfect love casted out all fear. Amen. So I'm going to quickly. So Romans 8, 14-24, he goes on and just shares about, how in these last days, the earnest expectation of the creature is waiting for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. He said, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And that's what's happening in these last days in the earth realm. The earth is moaning, is groaning. The souls of those who are lost are moaning and groaning for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. Amen. And we are being the true church, being the inhabitants of the earth, because he said to meet you inherit the earth. Many will not get set free if it's not by us, by the bride. Amen. So that's really important for you to know how important you are, amen, as the church of God, as the bride of Christ. And he was really expounding upon Romans, the 8th chapter, because he was just sharing with me how important it is for in these last days for us to really understand that adoption that we have, amen, and understand that that adoption we have is been received by faith, amen, and that we're saved by not only by faith, but by hope. And in the conclusion of March 3rd posting, I just concluded by saying that we are that our faith is more precious than silver and gold, and we are been purchased and by the blood of Jesus. And I just thank the Lord for the holy liberties and the spiritual liberties that we have now in Christ Jesus. Amen. So I'm going to go back to real quickly to let me see here. Okay, I'm going to go to my Facebook post. And I'm going to share entry 2. I have, 15 minutes left. 15 minutes, okay. Okay, which brings me to entry 2, because when he ministered to me about part 2 of the perfect law of liberty, he began to deal with me about the birthright. Hallelujah, the birthright. And I was so amazed at that, because I was like, okay, Lord, the birthright, And he was saying that our birthright is to, it was given to us to liberate us, not to bind us. And he gave me Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And in the writing of Hebrews, one of the things that I was really encouraged about in studying this was going back to the author of this epistle, which is Apostle St. John. And the interesting thing about his writing to the Hebrews is that it's believed that he was writing to and for the Jewish Christians who lived in Jerusalem. And this was writing was for them being the New Testament church, the New Testament church. Now, this is pretty lengthy, and I'm going to break this down in a summary. I kind of outlined it so I can get through it. The thing that I was so encouraged about in reading it was understanding what he was saying about the birthright. And verse 1 through 3, we see where he was speaking to the Hebrew church about Christ Jesus being the example. Being the example. And this is where he starts off, where he says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which do it easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith." And so this is a declaration of who Jesus is and what we should do to lay aside every weight and sin that's so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, unto him who is the author and finisher of our faith. And the thing that he said in the first scripture, in the first verse, was that we've come past about with so great a cloud of witnesses. So the Lord is beholding our confession. He's beholding our testimony. He's beholding everything we're doing. I mean, he's recording everything we're doing. And again, we will give an account for everything we're doing and what we've done and who we've done it to, especially the Holy Ghost himself. Now he goes on to say, that for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. You have not yet resisted unto the blood, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. From whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son, daughter, whom he receiveth. He said, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? He said, but if you be not without chastening, be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then you are bastards, not sons. Now, he was saying in this verse, it just speaks of the father's discipline. So verse 4 through 17 speaks of his discipline. When he was saying to me that in order for us to walk in the perfect law of liberty, which is love, and those love has guidelines, that love and that birthright has instructions. And he was saying to me that many people who claim the birthright who say I have birthright, it's my right, I don't really have that because they don't have the discipline. They don't have his signature, which is what I touched on also in this second entrance, having the seal of God. But he was sharing with me about the chastisement, how everyone he receives, he chastens. And he said, again, if you be without chastening, you're as fast as you're not a hit. Now, he goes on in the ninth verse where he says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us and who gave us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits? So he was saying, like you had natural mothers and fathers, and you were subject to them, and you were reverence of them. Should you not also have reverence for the Father of spirits, who has the power to cast body and soul into hell? Shall you not have reverence to the Father of spirits and live? Because one of the reasons why many people are not living today, or their life is shortened, is because of disobedience. Now, verse 10 says, for they verily, for a few days, chasten us after their own pleasure, being reared by our parents. That chastisement was only for a time, because after you became grown, they can no longer physically chastise you, because now you have the ability to make your own decision. So he said, after 2 days, should they still be chasing you? And answers no. After their own pleasure, according to their rules, according to their teaching. He said, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of holiness. Hallelujah. So the chastisement of the Lord is to what? Produce the fruit of righteousness and produce holiness so that we can reflect who he is. Amen. And again, no chastisement at the time seems pleasurable. Amen. But every chastisement serves a purpose. It's to cut away something. Amen. So in this message, the birthright, the thing he was basically saying was that in order for us to be heirs and joint heirs, as we claim to be, there has to be that structure, has to be that discipline. Now I'm going to quickly go down to, let's see, verse 18 to 29. Verse 18 to 29, it talks about the contrast between Sinai and Zion, which speaks of the new covenant versus the old covenant. And in him speaking, in verse 18 to 29, he was just basically saying that in the new, which is Zion, there's a greater glory. There's signs and wonders and miracles that follow every believer. Just not the high priest, every believer. And that the anointing and the presence of God and the glory of God is not just exclusive to the top. It's meant for everyone. Amen? And that is by us being on one accord, having the same mind, having the same spirit, being in one is in unity in the spirit. Let's see. And in your time, you can read what he is saying in the rest of Hebrews here, because in Jesus being, again, the mediator of our new covenant, that new covenant is by the sprinkling of his blood, amen, not by the works of our deeds and us being self-righteous. So in him speaking in verse 18 to 29, he was just speaking to them about the difference, about Jesus being the mediator. Amen. We don't need an in-between. Amen. I can go to God for myself. The veil has been ripped, and it's a personal relationship. Me going to heaven, it's not going to be based on some leader or someone I submit myself to who has to present me to God. Jesus said he'll present me faultless before his coming without spot or wrinkle. Amen. So, again, if we want to really walk in the liberty of Christ and really experience the perfect law of liberty, We have to do that by being perfected in love, perfected in holiness. Amen. Now, the thing that blessed me as he continued to minister to me about the perfect law of liberty in the second entry entitled The Birthright, he was saying that, you know, we have inherited the blessing, amen, by way of Jesus Christ, amen, being joint heirs with him, and how important it is to seek God in the honest, amen. Because as he says here, although Esau saw it earnestly, he didn't receive it, though he sought it with tears. So we don't want a promise that God has left us to not be fulfilled because we're not sincere, we're not earnest, or because we have not properly repented and disposed of our sins. And because in the perfect law of liberty, there's no sin that dwells in our members. Amen. So also in having our birthright, we have to be careful that we don't lose our birthright or sell it for a morsel of meat, like Esau did. Amen. So the perfect law of liberty is really reigning, hallelujah, in my soul, in my spirit, and that's one of the reasons why I had the image of the handbells, the handbells, because as I was praying, I saw that in the vision. I saw like the handbells ringing, and I'm like, wow, God, the liberty bells ringing, you know, the joy bells ringing in my soul, and that was a sign to me that I had received the impartation. And I'm thanking God for that because I'm like, oh, wow, God, I have the joy bells ringing. And I just felt them down deep down in my soul. So that's why I kind of put the joy bells on there because that was a sign of what he was saying and him being pleased was that I had received the impartation. Now, let's see. Now, I wanted to add this prophetic word at the end, where he was saying to me that the promises of God are established based upon our new covenant with God, being the rightful heir and joint heir in Christ Jesus, who made us free from sin and death. Amen. So again, to truly receive the true birthright of Christ that God has for us, and it may manifest in the earth realm, we have to be free from sin. If it's going to be a godly inheritance. And when you have received your godly inheritance, it's important for you not to mar it or allow it to be marred or tainted and spoiled by other people. This is another thing you need to take away from this message. If God has received your birthright and your inheritance in the spirit, keep it pure. Don't get it tainted. And avoid bastards. You must avoid bastards because, again, the Word of God says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven upon the children of disobedience. Now, the birthright is the signet on our life that declares itself. So I don't have to go around saying, oh, I'm the heir of God, I'm the heir of salvation, I'm his, I have the birthright. No, it will declare itself. It will declare itself by the fruit. It declares itself by the love. He says, you know, by the disciples, they have love one to another. It declares itself by God's righteousness and holiness. It will declare that we are the workmanship, his workmanship. And he gave me 2 Corinthians, first chapter, first 21st and 22nd verse, where he says, now he which established us with you in Christ Jesus and had anointed us is God, sealed us and give us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. There it is, the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Not on our egos, not in our pocketbooks, no, our titles and positions, in our hearts. Because in the last days, God will judge us by the gospel. Search our hearts by the gospel. So I'm really excited and blessing God for the perfect law of liberty as we look into it with an open face, open heart. I'm excited that he is doing a new thing. Amen. And we'll be holding it from the new Jerusalem, from the holy city. Hallelujah. From the paradise of God, from the heavenly Jerusalem. Glory be to God. So I praise and thank God for you stopping by and visiting with me, Lisa Marie, here on the Heavenly Host broadcast. And I certainly hope that you will do accordingly to what the word instructs, and that is walk before him and be made whole. Yeah? And to walk in the perfect law of liberty, we must walk in love. Amen? Because what? Love fulfills the law. Amen? Well, that's all the time I have for today. Peace, blessings, and much love. I will be back tomorrow on Lisa Marie's Rise Up and Brunch to share with you something brand new for the month of March. Spring Forward. We're springing forward this evening, which will start the new equinox, where we'll have longer sun days. So don't forget to spring forward on your clock. All right. With that, I bid you peace, blessings, and much love. Talk with you soon. Take care.